Welcome to Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Author and attorney Roberta Grimes will explore and illustrate how she, after an extraordinary experience of light in childhood, has discovered channels of communication to the afterlife and how these implications have an effect on our everyday lives. Please welcome the host of Seek Reality, Roberta Grimes.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and we're coming to you live on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. You know, those that we used to think were dead repeatedly tell us that the entire purpose of human life is for us to learn and grow spiritually. Living in what we think of as the afterlife level is kind of the equivalent of lolling around on a spiritual couch. There's no negativity, there's nothing to push against, so apparently we can get spiritually pretty flabby. As a result, when we're in the afterlife levels, we soon begin to crave spiritual growth as we might crave every good thing that we have on this earth together. Think about craving, you know, sex, food, fun, whatever, you know, you might be addicted to, all of it together, the biggest craving you can imagine. Then multiply that by about 100. That's how badly you're going to want to grow spiritually in the afterlife levels. So when we're here, it's important to make the most of it. Now, of course, for me, the non-religious teachings of Jesus, as we have them preserved in the Gospels, are the easiest, the quickest, the most effective way for us to meet our need for spiritual growth. Jesus makes it so easy. And my book, The Fun of Growing Forever, gives you those Gospel teachings in three simple steps that can transform your life beginning within only months. But breaking free from our fear-based religions and all the routines and the dogmas is really a big step for all of us. And some of those who've done it tell me that what they really want is not just what Roberta says, but they want to sample all the possible ways that they might elevate themselves spiritually. And they're right. People need to choose for themselves what resonates with them. We are all different people spiritually as we are in every other way. And what we've been needing, it really is a simple overview of world spiritual teachings in layman's terms, and now we have it. Our guest today is David Lowe. He's a seeker himself who eventually got his PhD in religious studies, went way beyond me, so he could sort this all out. He's been an Episcopalian, then into transcendental meditation, the Vedanta Society, I don't know what that is, Sufism, Zen Buddhism, and what he calls agnostically oriented self-inquiry. And running in the background all that time has been what he calls bhakti yoga and Catholicism. That's a mix I can't even imagine together. So he's steeped in this stuff, even much more than I am, and I'm eager to have you hear what he says. His book is called Universal Spiritual Philosophy and Practice. But it's a fun book. Don't let the title put you off. It's really a fun book. I can't wait to hear your story, David. Welcome. I'm really so glad you're here.
Guy, thank you so much for having me, Roberta. It's a great honor. I'm psyched.
I'm psyched, too. So what made you get started on all of this, on this voyage? What did something turn you off about this being an Episcopalian, or what happened?
Well, I basically began to see through Orthodox religion fairly early on. I realized that there are, you know, we're all human beings, we all follow different religions, therefore there has to be something at the basis of all of them. Okay.
Yes.
There's a deeper underlying reality which they all share, and there are deeper, not so underlying realities which begin to tell us about the different common questions which all the religions have. And so, yeah, it's a self-help textbook meant to be stimulating, fun to read, pictures were balloons, intentionally short and concise, about 200 pages. It sets forth all the underlying commonalities of all the religions and spiritual practice around the globe. You know, mystical insights, belief interpretation, praxis, fundamentalist psychology to watch out for, importance of dreams, miracles, healing, different kinds of teachers, theories of enlightenment. It's all there in a very entertaining way.
Entertaining, especially, I think, for people who are just coming to the notion that basically you and I shared when we were very young, the fact that everybody, even if you go back to the most primitive, people who lived in caves, the earliest cave carvings seem to be religion-based. Religion seems to be an instinct right up there with, you know, eating, drinking, and having sex. It's basic to human beings. And you start to wonder, why is that? Why?
Really?
When did you get your PhD? I'm fascinated by the fact that you had this really extensive traditional education in this field, which many people have not bothered to do. Was that early on or later?
That was later. I got my doctorate by the time I was 40-something. I don't remember. Around there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's been quite a journey. I think we're all born with what I call a core idealism, right? We all have, if I gave you a pencil and paper and asked you to write down your perfect scenario for absolute bliss and love and so forth, you could do that. Even if it's totally unreal, you could do it, right? So everybody has that, everyone. So, you know, we grow up associating that with different things. A lot of people associate with religion. Some people associate with nature. Some people associate with humanism and science. So there are different kinds of spiritualities. Religious spirituality is only one type. There's the naturalistic spirituality. There's the scientific spirituality, neither of which may involve a belief in God. But we all have a spirituality underneath.
How would you define spirituality then, David? How do you define it?
It is the deeper underlying dimension underneath language, underneath culture. You enter a more profound realm of direct experience and feeling, which we can get to. Everybody has that dimension in them.
Absolutely.
There are human experiences like falling in love or childbirth or so forth, which can give you a sense of that deeper reality. But yeah, it transcends all that. It doesn't rely on hormones or biological mechanisms. It does involve a real search for something deeper. You need to be fed up with this world in kind of a major way. The people who don't know what they're looking for, I mean, by definition, that's it. Because you really, it's outside of normal knowledge.
But that is so profound. Can we just stop so people can appreciate what you just said? There is in each of us this innate hunger for something beneath everything that we sort of see and feel and everything that's on the surface. And we touch it here and then, there now and again in our daily lives, and we want more of it. That was beautifully expressed. That's exactly what spirituality is. People think it's, you know, when you go to church and you look at the stained glass windows, that's not what it is. You can feel it sometimes there, but it's innate to you. It's as much a part of you. It's the core of you. Beautifully said.
Right.
I agree.
Forgive me for speaking so quickly. I get kind of enthusiastic about it.
Oh, I think it's great. I just want people to savor what you're saying, because most people think on the surface, and they think that's spirituality. They whatever their religion is, every religion has some shortcuts. If you do those shortcuts, they think they've done it. They haven't even touched it. I didn't understand this either until I was very much older. And what I'm hoping is that maybe you and I can help people who are young come to understand it's there. It's not hard to reach. You just have to look for it. It has to be so important to you that you will give up things for it. Because when you get there, you will know, as you say, the peace that passes all understanding. But also, you'll know joy beyond any joy you've ever felt in any other way.
Right. And I think For young people especially, the route to that is often fairly circuitous. You have to forget the conventional notion of God. Look out at the world and see all the accumulating problems and all the inevitable situations and dilemmas which the human condition has gotten us all into, overpopulation and everything else. But that is the route to disillusionment, which leads to a major awakening. And so kids at 20 and 30 are understanding stuff that I didn't know until 50 and 60. So the planet is evolving.
It is, yes. We know that, and that's very exciting. It's thrilling to be part of it. My wonderful guest is Dr. David Lowe. He actually went and got a PhD in religious studies so he could come to a deeper understanding of what it is that all of us are so hungry for. And his book is beautiful. The title may be a little surprising. It's called Universal Spiritual Philosophy and Practice, but it's a handbook. It's not very thick. It's got wonderful little illustrations and wonderful thought bubbles all throughout it. Very simple language. So I don't care how little you think you know about this field, you'll find his book very accessible. And for people who are just coming to understand that there's a whole lot more going on than we used to think there was, and religion is pretty much thin gruel for most people. They're looking for something deeper. If that's where you are, his book is ideal. Again, it's David Lowe, Universal Spiritual Philosophy and Practice. Now, David, let's yeah. talk about the process. You were saying during the break about enlightenment and what it is and why it's valuable, because I have a different view of it, and that's why I want people to hear yours.
Sure, sure. Well, and the enlightenment or spiritual unfolding into our true nature is something which is inherent in the human condition and is possible for all living human beings. This is the teaching, as I understand it, which all the great mystics give us from all the different traditions, not always expressed directly, but it's there for everyone. And it's a matter of just wanting it badly enough. And you don't have to have come from a religious background. You do need to really be looking and searching for something. And you may not know what that thing is. And you don't necessarily have to have done a lot of practices beforehand. The people are coming into this life with all this spiritual practice and austerity from many lifetimes before. So a lot of people are waking up with little or no practice in this life. Most of the time it does take work and a lot of practice for decades before you achieve it. But it can happen to anybody, and often very unexpectedly.
When you begin to know you were on the right path, how could you begin to tell, just starting out in your search?
Because you know that you're on a beam. At a certain point, something will awaken. You will get some kind of initiation, not necessarily from a religion or a guru, but something will happen in your life to give you a sense of being awakened and on some kind of path. Synchronistic events begin to happen more and more often. There seem to be more and more coincidences, which you begin to perceive that there are no accidents. You begin to get in one way or another dreams, inner messages, and hunches that you didn't used to get. And there's definitely the practice. You need to have some sort of practice. Not everybody does sitting meditation, but pretty much all seekers do some sort of focusing practice, if not a lot of other things. So that attunement to something, that sense of energy which draws you in a particular direction, there's a real sense of attunement to reality, to a greater and greater harmony which exists here and now.
So you recommend meditation for people, that people should learn to meditate.
Absolutely, yes.
What else?
Meditation. Meditation is the main thing. The only thing about it is, don't define it so narrowly. It isn't necessarily sitting in a dark room with your eyes closed. It's really a matter of intentional focus of the mind with anything that really gives you joy and also a sense of discipline at the same time. So, I mean, I do think that everyone should aspire to doing sitting meditation in a dark, quiet room with your eyes closed. But if you can't, there are all kinds of other things that you can do to work your way up to it. But you need to learn to be with yourself at the very deepest level. And that can be scary, you know, like the notion of a vision quest, for example. That's sort of like to be completely alone with God. No iPhone, no iPod, no book, no pencil and paper, nothing. Okay, that's scary. That can be scary, but you need to make that kind of friendship with your deeper and deeper self.
You don't have to do it for very long the first time either. I think we should point that out. If it does seem intimidating, my husband still does transcendental meditation. He's been doing it for like 40 years. And I couldn't go sit and for 20 minutes and do whatever he does. But you can sit for five. I still don't meditate. I just don't. I don't seem to need it at this point. But many people say that it's essential in the beginning. Try 5 minutes. Don't even think about the clock. Just sit and be at peace with and alone with yourself. Don't fight thoughts. Allow, and there, sometimes people like to use music as a way to focus their mind, or they use, Suzanne Wilson does a wonderful sort of way to get deeper, and you can buy it on her website, carefreemedium.com. All kinds of things like that, but If all you can do is a few minutes of being at peace with yourself, you'll find it does center you. And you're doing it more and more, too. Don't you find you do it better and better each time you try?
Well, yeah. I mean, also, the great movement systems, Hatha Yoga, Tai Chi, Qigong, those are available. You know, you can do like walking meditations, like the Buddhist Kinhin technique. You don't have to be sitting still, as long as it's a disciplined, focused practice to take you further and further within, even with your eyes open, because ultimately enlightenment, your deepest self, the inside and the outside are the same thing. That's the astounding truth. You know, you the very most arrogant, unbelievably sound, completely seemingly delusional notion. You know, you are God. You know, we are everything, and yet it's true.
Yeah. It's true. Yes. Yes. When you meet God within and you realize that that's who you've been all along, it's the most astonishing moment of your life. And it isn't even, it's neither humbling nor does it make you proud. It just makes you realize suddenly the circle's complete and you are whole for the first time.
And one thing that you have to do on the way there is to realize that all these great saints and sages, which you look up to, even the best and greatest in the world, according to historical accident, you know, they have nothing on you. They have nothing on you at all. They happen to have the more noteworthy karma, certainly, but spiritually, we are each just as much as great in the eyes of God as is Jesus Himself. When we get enlightened, no ifs, ands, or buts.
In fact, we now understand that our minds are all part of that one mind. So in truth, there's only one of us here. There is no difference. David, what do you see God as? What is God?
God is this absolutely incomprehensible ultimate, which you have to understand is God is both monotheistic and polytheistic, right? God is this principle that everything comes out of. All of creation emerges from God, an effervescent, continual pouring forth of creation, universe after universe after universe comes out of God continually. But at the same time, he's completely empty, a void. But that void is the fullness of everything. It's the effulgent core of reality, which coruscates and glistens and scintillates with complete joy, constantly making love to itself and scintillating powerful joy. It is both form. It is both the form and the formless at the same time. Okay. It is both monotheistic and polytheistic. For those folks who are confused about their religions, they all have one God and they all have many gods. And I can go into that if you want. I think that's real important. You there?
What I love about this, David, is you're saying it so beautifully, exactly the same thing I'm about to say.
Cool.
God is what we experience as human consciousness. God is the only thing that exists. God is an infinitely powerful energy, and God expresses in all the ways David has just said. That's what God is. And God
He's both personal and impersonal, but profoundly, profoundly meaningful. The very core of our being.
I love it when you get going and you get talking about this stuff, because it's clear you've experienced so much. Because, yes, you can experience God in all these ways, Or you can just simply know that everything is God. There is nothing that is not God. God is what we experience very dimly. We experience as human consciousness. What we experience as human consciousness is a minimal aspect of the infinitely powerful God that is the only thing that exists. And Max Planck actually told us this. A scientist discovered God, in 80 years ago. And
yeah, sort of.
Unfortunately, no other scientist has seemed to care.
Well, no, there are lots of guys besides Max who've kind of discovered God, if you will. I think, Einstein had a wonderful belief in God and deity.
Einstein too.
So I want to talk, I'm not enlightened. Okay. I do think there are people who are, not that many, but more and more all the time. I do know some people who have had culminating transformative experiences, which blew away all their other experiences and which they describe as complete and final. So they've woken up completely.
Yes.
The paradox is, there's a paradox. You continue to grow and change as a human being, but spiritually, you're done. You're completely cooked. So I do think it exists. Enlightenment exists.
Cooked? I would say very well done. Cooked sounds nuts.
Enlightenment exists.
You don't have to go any further.
Right. It represents a potential common to everybody. I'm not sure I have enough interest required to get there, but I hope I do.
Well, I think that what you're going to find once you graduate is that you have gone to a much higher level of what we used to think of as the afterlife. We now know it's real life, and that will be very much the reward for it all. I mean, by the time they get to what we think of as level 6, they live in a state of continuous bliss. It's as if they are constantly in that state of being fully awakened. Quite a wonderful thing to look forward to. And it's in all of our futures, in a sense, because there is no time. We've all already done it. It's just a matter of getting back there again, getting past all the barriers of awareness.
All these hierarchies, all these notions of hierarchies are so elegant, and it's all true. But the even deeper truth, and the most difficult and paradoxical, but also encouraging one to fathom, is that we all have it right now. I mean, level 6 is right here. Level one, level six, they're all right here, And it's
In a couple of ways. They're all here because everything exists in the same place and at just different rates of vibration. But they're all here, too, because each of us is the infinitely powerful Godhead. Each of us is already perfected. It's as if we've forgotten. And a lot of this process that David is taking us through and that I talk about is just getting rid of the barriers to love's awareness, to the awareness that we are already perfect. Once we get rid of all those barriers, we do live in continuous bliss. There's no other way to be.
Yes, so I think also it's important to appreciate how to get over our attachments and opinions about things, which keep us blocked. Like, if you take an idea or situation in the world that means something to you, right? Start pulling the lens back. Right? Say, for example, the idea of everybody having a good organic diet. It may work on a small scale, but the further you pull the lens back, the more people you envision having it, the more inherently problematic the whole idea becomes. Right. The more and more real world factors prevent it from ever happening.
Yes.
It just can't ever be. Right.
Yes.
That doesn't mean you shouldn't try, but it can't ever be. And the more you can reconcile yourself to that kind of reality, the less you suffer when you hear about all these terrible things in the world. You have to look at everything more philosophically with greater detachment. Life is a series of saying goodbye to things, And all the pain and disillusionment you go through, there's a deeper underlying joy that you get when you go through that pain and disillusionment.
Yes.
But you have to look around and embrace the world with all its problems and difficulties and horrible things. It's also joyful. It's the sport of God juggling all this stuff in front of us, kind of.
One thing I want people to understand, really please understand this, there's nothing to be feared. Because the more you seek God truly within yourself, the more you're going to find much more than you can possibly imagine. I mean, the question, sort of ultimate human question is everything love-based or is it fear-based? And many people live as if reality is scary. Reality isn't scary. Reality is infinite, perfect love. And the other stuff is just minor. We've got to get past that. So you can do this journey without fear. You can do it in love and enjoy, because where it ends up is better than you can possibly imagine. And thank you, David, for helping us get that. I think that's so important.
And we have to acknowledge something else, too. And there is a boots-on-the-ground reality to you know, spiritual seeking. It is indeed true that most people who get somewhere spiritually and become saints and well-known luminaries in the religions were from the upper classes. It's also true that most people who today find themselves more comfortable and illuminated spiritually and end up being looked up to by other people had comfortable, easy backgrounds. It does take support. It does take nourishment. It does take usually for most people, isolation, but it does take convenience and leisure and downtime to figure yourself out and do all these practices. But more and more people are awakening through difficulty and suffering without having to do that, just because they have so much wisdom from, you know, previous lifetimes. So although there are a lot of other people in very different situations from you know, the quote-unquote lower classes and so forth who are also having this awakening experience. And we shouldn't exclude anybody. But there is a boots-on-the-ground reality that we have to acknowledge, that it does take comfort and leisure. It doesn't happen that way for everybody. A lot of people awaken through intense suffering, and boom, they come out, wow, they have some transformative experience. And they're just as joyful in their situation as the comfortable rich person is in his.
It is all good. Where you are heading is all good and perfect. And there is so much joy, more than you can ever imagine, in any possession or in any event in your life. There's so much joy when you finally begin to reunite with who you truly are. But I noticed that you also do work with dreams, and that's an area where I have no expertise. Can you say a few things about dreams?
Yeah, that's a specialty of mine. Everyone dreams every night, and we basically cease to be able to function if we're not allowed to dream. That's been known for decades. You know, our spiritual body needs its cycle of activity just like our physical body does. That's basically why we sleep. And it's interesting, you know, scientists don't know what sleep is, really, quite why we do it on the biological level. But, you know, it's obvious to me that's, you know, our dream body needs to have a certain cycle of activity, just like our physical body does. So that's why we sleep, primarily, I think. So, you know, dreams represent a natural psychic faculty we all have to pick up on personally relevant information from higher levels of reality, which transcends time and space. We just have to pay attention to it. You know, there's no free lunch. We do have to do our part by being interested to record and interpret them. But that information is on offer all the time. We all have that dimension of ourselves. You know, I mean, dreams are more important to some spirits survive than others. But they're significantly important in almost everybody's spirituality. And our life will be more or less okay if we don't pay attention to our dreams, but there's always the possibility of choice for greater happiness and fulfillment. And dreams offer you that information all the time. We just have to start paying attention to it. It's always there.
I pay attention to my dreams, and I have a predictable pattern. I wake up in the middle of the night, like at 2 or 3 in the morning, work for a few hours, go back to bed, and sleep for another couple. And it's during that 2 hours that I have dreams I remember. And they're always crazy dreams. I mean, if I were to tell, I'd be embarrassed to say on air some of the things I dream about. They're just so lunatic. Is there a way to make sense of that? What happens in these dreams?
You can study symbolism and so forth, but the way you don't really need to study symbolism, although that helps a great deal and so forth, all you need to do is develop a regular dialogue with a journal. You know, write down at least some major images and ideas and things that were said or seen. Not the whole thing. If you only have 5 minutes to write, then just dash off a few bullet points. Then later on, spend about 5 minutes pondering over what the heck it means. And later on, write down your questions and frustrations back to God. That is developing that dialogue and just devoting regular time to wondering about it with a symbol dictionary and so forth. That will attune you to more greater meaning in your dreams. You'll slowly start being able to figure them out. But you need to pay regular attention to them. And there's a whole thing with symbols that we could go into. It's very interesting. But basically, almost everything in a dream represents an aspect of the dreamer rather than the thing itself. So when you dream about your boyfriend, it's not your boyfriend.
I don't like to think that's me, David. I'd rather think I'm a bit above some of the crazy stuff that happens in my dreams. But for me,
right.
So,
if you dream about your car,
I'm sorry,
it's you that you're dreaming about. Dreams are very, very important.
Do you help people figure their dreams out? Is this a service you provide?
Yeah, I do interpret stuff for people in sessions online every so often, and that's something which I want to develop more of. But it's something which is always there for everybody. And yeah, you know, after I got my initiation from the major teacher I follow, a whole new realm of dream experiences opened up for me. But this is because I have the personal disposition, psycho-spiritually, of being kind of spacey or unattached, more so than I should be at my level of the journey overall. We all have our particular dispositions and issues. In my case, it's being too unattached and flighty, which predisposes me to all kinds of dreaming. Okay, so but most people, insofar as we have dreams that we can remember, we really should try to pay attention to them. You know, part of our mental apparatus exists in higher reality. Our thoughts and feelings and emotions are not confined to our heads. They exist in higher dimensions. So you could say that we all have, you know, like the conventional idea of an aura is like this field which goes about 6 feet out from a person.
Yes.
And a deeper understanding of our aura goes all the way out to the edge of the universe, right? So we're always, okay. our auras are always interacting with everybody else's auras. When we have emotional connections with people from past lifetimes and so forth, those things resonate, and they express themselves symbolically in the universal language of symbols, which is a whole other big topic. But, you know, dreams represent the primordial perception of basic reality. Before any language, before any culture, before any cognition, they're just a simple basic data of reality distorting itself in the right way for us to understand stuff symbolically as Source Truth Light wants us to understand it. It's an automatic.
I think we're going to have to have you back just to talk about dreams, because this is an area where I'm completely ignorant of, and this is yet one more we've discovered that people are probably very interested in hearing more about.
Dreams. Dreams are especially of mine. I could talk about dreams forever, all this theoretical stuff and so on.
We'll do that again soon. I just find it delightful to find someone who's come at all of this from a completely different direction and still is basically in different language saying the same things. I tell
Absolutely.
People, you know, you're not inside your body. Your brain is a two-way radio in the head of a meat robot. And I love hearing you say the same thing, but in a totally different way. Because
sure.
Everyone has to hear things differently. We all have our own different way that we register information. And so there are people hearing you now that maybe have been listening to me and don't quite get it. And then they hear David. They say, you know, David, I get you, David. Now I understand. So thank you so much for being with us. I want to make sure before we sign off, people know how to reach you and more about you and what's coming up next for you.
The email is david@worldspirituality.com. That's easy to remember, worldspirituality.com. Website, David Lowe, L-O-W, no E, David Lowe, MSPhD.com. But yeah, david@worldspirituality.com is the email you can reach me at. Sure, that'd be cool. I got a website and everything. Check it out. Look at the book. By all means, buy the book, or you can download it as an e-book, or I'm gonna have it on audio very soon, but you can buy the hardback and buy the email, the e-book for $4. So, yeah, it's out there, and I do dream work and spiritual counseling, and I teach meditation, but the dream work especially in terms of things that I would like to do more online and even by phone is available for consultation. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, That's great. Now, if someone is listening and thinks you might be able to help with a spiritual breakthrough or with some spiritual counseling, you do that as well, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yes, certainly. So that's the website. And having studied all these different religions and so forth, I understand there are different quote-unquote systems of spirituality, which they all have in common. I've found through listening to all these pastors and seeing all these different ways that religious teachers go about communicating spirituality, I come up with my own system, which is nothing different. It just seems to be a more direct and straightforward and concrete way of communicating it. So they would definitely be exposed to something which they haven't been exposed to before in terms of a counseling approach. It's very simple, very straightforward, and it points out what they're already doing well and just how to tweak what they're already doing, plus add some new stuff in there. Yeah.
I love this. Yeah. One of the things that I've talked about, and I want to make sure everyone sort of associates with this, is the fact that there is this tremendous effort on the part of those at the very highest level of reality to raise the consciousness of this planet. It's happening very quickly. The fact that you're listening to us now suggests that you're being inspired by your own guides to do your own work on raising your own consciousness. And David gives us some wonderful additional ways to do that, which is, I think, very exciting. So we will
talk about my angels.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Talk about my angels.
You've got angels
about our
too?
Angels.
Yes. Well, that's another thing we can talk about when we do dream work. We can talk about our various guides, because that's something that is that an area where you're also expert, talking about guides?
Well, I have two or three of my own, and I've studied lots of different traditions, experiences of guides, and different kinds of spiritual seekers, experiences of guides. They are very real, and I think what you really want to talk about right now, getting back to what you were saying, we are living through a time of intensified transformation, leading up to a lot of big changes, right?
Yes.
The idea of a day of judgment battle between good and evil, right? That's a children's story. Right. I think there's a deeper reality that there's a deeper reality than good and evil. The real meaningful battles happen in spiritual groups and therapist offices where people do their work, as we say. Right.
Yes.
So I don't think Jesus is going to come back to lead an army against the forces of Satan.
No, we already know that's bogus.
Right.
Yes.
In fact, Armageddon refers to the struggle between, good and evil in your heart and so forth.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah. It's all metaphor. I think it's wonderful that you've done this different work, which is why I'd like to do a little more conversation with you, because it helps people to get this different view. And yes, we all do have guides. Everyone listening, you have a primary guide who will be with you throughout your life, always has been, always will be, and other guides too. Three, four, I have 11 at the moment because I'm a pain in the neck to deal with, I think. But all of these guides are just trying to help you make the best you can of the spiritual lessons in your life. And we're here to do that too. David, I'm so glad you've been with us today. This has been exciting and fun for me to talk to someone with such a different background who ended up in the same place. I love that.
All right.
Thank you so much for being with us, and I'll be in touch with you. We'll talk about dreams next time, and I think a little bit more about guides. I've been looking for someone who can talk about guides, and most people don't have a concrete understanding. So we have a lot to look forward to. We'll do this again. But meanwhile,
It'll be a lot of fun.
Thank you for being here. Never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, you never will end. And when you really get all that means, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. Next week, our guest is going to be the gifted young spiritual medium, Camber Wilson. She's back for a second visit. Camber's been working with our very favorite medium, Suzanne Wilson, to develop her tremendous, really great natural abilities. And Suzanne and Camber are not related, no, even though they both are called Wilson. But Suzanne isn't taking new clients now, and so I'm sort of leaning more on Camber, and she's sort of my go-to medium when I'm talking with you, so that if you have an interest in going to a medium, you might think about her. Next week, she's going to tell us more about how we should be choosing our medium, how we can prepare for our very best reading with our loved ones, what we can realistically expect, what's not realistic to expect, and just more about the whole process of working with a spiritual medium. It won't always be necessary to have spiritual mediums. We're relatively soon, within a few years, we're supposed to have an app we can use to talk to our dead loved ones. But meanwhile, let's learn more about what it is to work with a spiritual medium. I get lots of questions from people on this topic, so please join us next week. And this week, we've been talking with David Lowe. His book really is terrific. It's called Universal Spiritual Psychology and Practice, and it's full of these little drawings and little bubbles of thought, and it's full of simple wisdom about what all the different religions teach and how they relate to one another. I think it's great. It's not my voyage, but it may be yours. I think the first thing we have to do as we begin to wake up, and that's what we're all doing now, is just figure out what resonates with us. And I'm a one-trick pony, so I try to do what I can to expose you to other ways of thinking. I guess, let me sum this up. How could I sum up his book and make it wonderful? It's like a general store. If you're shopping for the right way to work spiritually with your guides, and his book is a great general store where you can go in and sample things off the shelf. As you know, my nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, The Fun of Growing Forever, and The Fun of Living Together. They're available from bookstores on Amazon as audiobooks, and in 33 languages worldwide. And if you want to talk with me about any of my books or just get in touch with me for any reason, you can always contact me through robertagrimes.com. I always answer emails. Recent episodes of Seek Reality are available on boldbravemedia.com or Dream Vision 7 Radio on the Exxon Broadcast Network and its affiliates at xzbn.net, and as podcasts easy to download on webtalkradio.net and on iTunes. And we now, of course, have our free Seek Reality app that you can find in the iTunes App Store. I hear from people about that all the time. And if you're ever wondering where Seek Reality can be heard right now, never forget, just go to robertagrimes.com and click on the radio tab, and you'll find out there. I want you to know how very grateful I am for your friendship. I don't say that often enough. We're working together to raise the planet's consciousness, and it would be impossible for just a few people to do this. But because you're working on it too, and you and your friends and everyone you talk to are beginning to understand the importance of it, we're doing it together, and doing it together feels easy and it feels joyous. And frankly, I'm tickled whenever I hear from people who are working on this with me. So don't hesitate to send me an email if you feel moved to do that. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being and you are infinitely loved.
This has been Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Tune in each week and discover the nature of reality and God, past, present, and future, in a way that can only be told by Roberta Grimes on the next episode of Seek Reality.